Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. How worried should you be about pesticide residue on produce? Yesterday, we spoke with a veteran food scientist who said not to be alarmed. Today, we talk about chlorpyrifos. It's a widely used pesticide sold by Dow Chemical. In late April, EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt denied a petition that had been under consideration since 2007, a petition that would ban this pesticide from use on food crops. It represents quite a change of direction for the EPA. After recent research showed that even small amounts of chlorpyrifos can impair the mental development of young children, the EPA issued a revised assessment of this pesticide in November 2016, saying it shows risks from dietary exposure. So why did the EPA change course in April? And how dangerous is this pesticide? We turn to Laura Anderko. She's a professor at Georgetown University's School of Nursing and Health Studies, and she directs the Mid-Atlantic Center for Children's Health and the Environment. Laura, it's a pleasure to welcome you to Stateside.
Great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
So in 2016, you were a signatory on a letter to the EPA asking the agency to ban the use of chlorpyrifos in agriculture. So why were you concerned about this pesticide?
The petition, which was submitted in 2007, had strong evidence, but by the time the letter was pulled together, there was additional research, robust research, that showed direct impacts of cognitive delays and neurodevelopmental issues in children, dose response. So the more that kids were exposed or their moms were exposed while pregnant, the more risk or evidence there was for children to have a whole range of neurological delays. And this was even as far as 7 to 11 years after the mom was exposed. And so there's long-term chronic effects that are irreversible.
So this recent research is much more robust than earlier studies.
Correct. And the current EPA administrator, if you look online, their arguments utilize older research, again, still pretty clear, but not as indicative as the more recent research.
And Dow Chemical claims, hey, chlorpyrifos has been widely studied and it has found to be safe in the small amounts allowed by the EPA. How do you respond to that argument?
Well, if that was actually the case, then in 2000, I believe EPA would not have removed it for household use. That's one of the points, is that, you know, small doses can impact children in much more significant ways than adults. Their bodies are growing. There are windows of vulnerability throughout the first 18 years of life where the neurological system is developing and is much more sensitive to chemicals such as chlorpyrifos.
And in November 2016, the EPA issues this revised human health risk assessment saying that it does indeed prove to show risk from dietary exposure and then changing gears, deciding not to ban this pesticide. Were you surprised when that gear change happened?
No.
Why is that?
Well, unfortunately, you know, the mission of the EPA is really to protect public health. The current administrator has made it very clear there's really no secrets about his desire to deregulate, to take some of the, quote, burden off of industry and business. And I believe this was a clear indication of a shift from protecting public's health to benefiting industry. This is seen time and time again with any range of chemicals or environmental exposures where first do no harm or the precautionary principle is actually, quite frankly, ignored. This particular decision was disappointing because of the mounting evidence, particularly for our children and their health long term.
So what's the message for the public in all of this, Laura? How is the public supposed to make an informed choice?
Well, that's a great question. Many families cannot afford to buy organic. It's really unfair to ask parents to stand in front of strawberries and have to decide if they're even going to buy fruit because the strawberries that are not organic most likely contain chlorpyrifos. As health professionals encourage families to go out and buy more fruits and vegetables, have your kids eat this instead of candy and and other sweet treats to prevent obesity. And yet, when you stand in the market, you're puzzled by what's safe. As a short-term response, I always tell families to, you know, vote with your dollar and purchase those things that you know are safe or are more likely to be safe when you can. Call your legislators and tell them that this is not acceptable. But also there are individual actions people can take. The Environmental Working Group has a wonderful website and a list of the Dirty Dozen foods to avoid that are highly contaminated with chemicals, strawberries being on the top of the list, for example. The other lesson and message, I think, for the general public is when I do a lot of speaking engagements, most people believe that the government is actually protecting them, protecting their health, and taking efforts, particularly to protect children's health. The message here is that's actually, the game has changed, and that's not the case, particularly in this decision. And so, you know, parents need to be advocating as well as making safe choices through their decision making at the food market.
We certainly have seen in the city of Flint, where government was not there protecting people as needs be. Is that the new reality for us, do you think, that we have to distrust government actions and government decrees?
I think it means that we have to be vigilant in becoming informed. I think for the last decade or so, people were fairly complacent. I don't think it's about distrusting, but I think it's becoming much more informed about the language that is used, the decisions that are made, and being actively involved as a family and a parent to understand how these decisions impact children. This is one of many decisions across the board, whether it's education or the environment, that is going to be detrimental to our children. And so we need to be better informed. I personally know many folks at EPA that work diligently as scientists to get the information out. It's unfortunate when the person that is leading the agency overlooks the key mission, which is to protect the public's health. This decision clearly did not embrace that mission. You know, there are appeals and there are ways for health professionals and researchers to petition this, but even the comment period was less than the typical timeline for this particular case. So, you know, I can tell you as a consumer and a parent and a researcher, I am much more vigilant in reading religiously the dailies and staying connected with folks in the community that can provide me straight information about what the decisions mean.
And just let's talk about as a consumer and as a parent and as a scientist, talk to parents. What do we do when we bring home that carton of strawberries that looks so great, maybe can't afford to buy the organic? What are the best ways to protect ourselves and our families?
Well, if it was me, I would avoid buying those strawberries. I would buy something else, like pineapple, which is on the safe list, the Clean 15 list by the Environmental Working Group. I would use safer fruits and vegetables and avoid those if I could not afford organic. You know, if you're up against having to consume products that clearly are at risk of being sprayed, I would rinse them very, very, very well with cold water. But my first choice would be not to purchase and to purchase alternative fruits that I know to be more safe.
It is daunting. I guess the other question you have to ask yourself, if you look at the balance, looking at the two risks of not eating fruits and vegetables and following a healthy diet versus possible exposure to some of these regulated pesticides. So where's the balance fall and which is the least harmful choice?
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on the group of people you're talking about. Adults are less at risk from harmful health effects. Children are much more at risk, particularly young children. And so the answer isn't a clear shot. And again, there are plenty of fruits and vegetables that are safer to eat that are not organic. So I think there's more choices than that, and I do want to leave folks with the idea that they do have plenty of opportunities to eat well and to make good choices, just to avoid those fruits and vegetables that have known high levels of chemicals. So, and that's because of how the fruit grows and when they're sprayed and all sorts of scientific reasons for that.
Laura Anderko is a professor at Georgetown University's School of Nursing and Health Studies and also the director of the Mid-Atlantic Center for Children's Health and the Environment. Laura, thank you so much for speaking with us today on Stateside. It was great to have you with us.
Thank you, Cynthia. My pleasure.